Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to turn your Bibles there. Hebrews chapter 12, you turn there, and we're going to have a word of prayer
here for a fellow by the name of Wayne Shirk. You ever heard that guy's name?
Yes.
Wayne, he's had a problem about 7 years ago, and a bleeding problem. And it's recurring. This would be the second procedure you've had done on this, right? And it's not fun. So fortunately, they're going to put you to sleep.
Yes.
For Jan's benefit.
Yes.
And then it'll be up to Jan to keep him asleep after she brings him home. Amen? Huh? Not you? Yeah. You're going to go to work, ain't you? I don't blame you. Men are whiners. I don't know if you noticed that or not. We are. Oh, I hurt. I'm dying. That's who we are. That's why God didn't give us babies to give birth to. So anyway... But anyway, we're going to pray for Wayne tonight and pray that God will bless him and God will bless the doctors tomorrow and just be with them. All right? Who in here needs prayer tonight?
Amen.
Man, what's wrong with you people? If you would just change your thoughts, God would change your life. Don't you know that? Joel Osteen said that. If you'll just change your thoughts and how you think, because everybody knows the Bible says... that we can be saved by how we think. We can change our thoughts. We can just think positive things and be victorious over everything, not have a problem in the world. Alicia, if you would just change Michaela's thoughts. Oh, she did. She's got a thought changer in her hand. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Amen? The rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know what's a good prayer to pray to God? God, if I get out of line, you whip me. Okay? That's a good prayer to pray. And I'm being dead serious. God, if I get out of line, you whip me. We never told that to our mom and dad growing up, did we? We never said, Mom, if I do something wrong, would you scald the hide off of me? We never did that to our parents. But we grow up, we're old enough to think. We're old enough to think. And when we think about where we're headed without Christ, you think about where you're headed without Christ and know that if God is going to call you to be a son, then He's going to chastise you when you do something wrong. He's gonna whoop it out of you. That's a term I never understood when I was a boy. I broke a car window one time, throwing rocks. And I was only supposed to hit the hubcap. Because that's what James Bonds was doing. I grew up with James Bonds. No kidding. And they were throwing rocks at the hubcap, Roy. And I said, well, I can do this. And I threw it one time, busted the window out of it. And I was scared. And James Bonds was telling me, you're going to have to pay for that. And I said, I don't have no money. Well, your mom is going to make you pay for it. I don't have any money. Well, then your mom's going to take it out of your hide. And I didn't know what that meant. I'm going, I don't have any in my hide. So you're going to take it out of your hide. I found out about an hour later what that meant. But that's a good prayer to pray. You get out of line. God, don't let me go to hell. You chastise me until I do right. Amen? Amen. There's nothing. Listen, good prayer to pray. Nothing wrong with that. You just lay it in God's hands and say, God, keep me in line. Keep me in line. Don't let me go away. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're going to be tonight. I love this teaching, and I've done a video on it. And I'm just going to teach it again. I absolutely love this kind of stuff. We're going to go through all the Bible and just look at symbolism. And anyway, we'll talk after we pray. Pray for Wayne, all right? Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you, God, for the mercy, God, that you've extended to your people, to your children. And Lord, I just thank you, dear God, for taking somebody like me, and Lord, applying the rod to me, God, because, Lord, my nature and my sinful, wretched nature is that I'm just wild. And I thank you, God, Lord, for the rod of correction. Lord, it's like David prayed in Psalm 23, "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me." Lord, I know what that rod and that staff is. And I thank you, dear God, for the comfort of that. I thank you, dear God, for the Bible. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that will chastise a son. Bring him back, Lord, to you, and bring him to where his heart's right with God. Lord, that's your work. That's what you do, and you do good at it. Lord, I love these people here tonight. These are my friends. These are my brethren and sisters in the Lord. And I love them dearly. And I thank you, God, for them. I thank you for this church and the fellowship that we have here, Lord. And if any of us get out of line, Lord, and be where we shouldn't be, say what we shouldn't say, think what we shouldn't think, see what we shouldn't see, talk the way we shouldn't talk, Lord God, would you just take us aside like our mama or daddy did, or grandpa, grandma? Just take us aside and, Lord, give us a good whipping. Give us a good beating, God, and correct our minds and our hearts so that we're in line with your word. God, it is not by our will, because we have foolishness bound in our heart. Lord God, would you just drive that far from us with the rod of correction? Lord, we love you for that. That's good for us, and we thank you for it, God. And we don't reject that. Lord, we need that. Lord, just bless your word tonight as we teach it, and let the Holy Ghost just teach us, Lord, some things that maybe just to remind us, Lord, of how awesome your word is. Lord, we pray for those that are here tonight. Give them a blessing, Lord. Help them, Lord, in their walk of life. Be with Wayne tonight. Lord, I love him so much. Good friend of mine. And I thank you, God, Lord, for him. And Lord, Father, he's been through some pretty rough deals in life. And Lord, Father, you've been there with him and been good to him the whole time. Lord, he's been through this before too. Lord, he's got infirmity in his flesh. And I pray, God, that you would heal him. Lord, we'd love for you to do that. But Lord, we submit to your will and to your way for his life. And I pray, God, that you'd bless doctors as they work on him tomorrow. Bless their wisdom and their knowledge, their education. But Father, Lord, everything else is in your hand. And Lord, Father, we just ask, God, that you just be with him. Be with Jan tomorrow. Lord, give them your grace, and just visit with them tomorrow. Bless your word tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to build up to that by going back to, let's go all the way back to verse 32 of chapter 11. We're just going to read straight through so that you understand the context. The Bible says, walk circumspectly. And I think that applies not only just in areas of life that we're in, that we just kind of look around to see what's around us, to see what's going on, to have our awareness open and have our eyes open. But also, it's a good way to study the Scripture. And I like to study words in the Bible, and just I see beautiful, beautiful illustrations in the Bible. But when I'm studying these words throughout the Bible, I won't isolate them. I'll go and look at what's around that verse. I'm going to walk circumspectly around. Circum is a circle. And spectacles is what I've got on my face. And I'm going to walk and I'm going to look around that verse to see what's there. It's just a good way to study the Bible. But anyway, verse 32 says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises." They didn't do it through the law. Amen. Didn't obtain promises through the law. They didn't obtain. They didn't subdue kingdoms through the law. They subdued it through faith. They obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. Amen. Daniel. That's the story of Daniel. I said I was going to read this straight through. Verse 34, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Somebody say amen. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, Old Testament, without us, New Testament, should not be made perfect. I'll say this to you, it is an error to get all your doctrine from the Old Testament. Okay, that's what leads to the Hebrew roots and all the messianic stuff. They always want to point you back to the Old Testament. It is an error to get all your doctrine from the Old Testament. Likewise, it is an error to get all your doctrine from the New Testament. It is an error to do that. God gave them both to us for the whole counsel of God, for us to know that all Scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine. So they who died in the Old Testament, who died in faith, not in works, but in faith, they await us on that day when Christ shall appear, not on the bright and cloudless morning, but on the day, the Bible says that the day of the Lord cometh with clouds and thick darkness. There's going to come a time when God is going to bring clouds over the earth. And it's going to be a day of judgment. Just like, I mean, think about the days of Noah. God brought clouds over the earth in the days of Noah. And so there's going to be a day of clouds once again. And in that day, you and I will be resurrected and we will meet Jesus in the clouds, in the air. Likewise, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And this is one of the beautiful things years ago that God began to show me about this old Bible that everybody now is putting aside, throwing in the trash heap, bad talk in the Bible and everything else. God began to show me these words in the Bible. You see a cloud here in Hebrews 12. Go back in Genesis 9, you'll see a cloud. Go in Exodus 16. In Exodus 19, you're going to see clouds. Go back in Exodus 14, you're going to see clouds. Go look all through the Old Testament, you're going to see clouds there. Go see what Jesus said about His second coming, you're going to see clouds. And what God began to show me is they all connect. They all connect. If you just study clouds, God will show you things. He'll show you things through all the Scripture. Now, I don't have up here every place in the Bible where clouds are mentioned. Say amen. Amen. And Gary's done fixed it. I didn't tell him to do this. Everybody come in here and notice that clock was wrong. Wasn't working right anymore. Gary jumped up there and fixed it.
Amen.
Don't make me throw this nasty thing at you, Jim. I was going to preach till about 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30, something like that. And let's go, hey, you've been out in the world all week long. What's wrong with coming to church and spending an extra 5 minutes? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I guarantee you those people sitting at home in their nice, comfortable computer chairs with their cup of coffee and tea and everything like that don't mind sitting here 5 minutes past 8.
Amen.
Anyway, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about Abraham. He's talking about Isaac. He's talking about Sarah and Barak and Gideon and David. And he's talking, and Moses. He's talking about these people who are the cloud, who will accompany Christ at His appearing. They are the cloud of witnesses. We will join them in the air. This is what I think. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Boy, how true that part of that verse is. Whew. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Not going to talk about that tonight, but I'm going to talk about clouds tonight. And if you want to note these down, jot these down, it's fine. Or you just get the software we got on our website, free of charge. I love that. The more I use it, the more I love it. And the lady's already writing updates for it. And I mean, it's a blessing. But anyway, just type in cloud. You get the software, type in the word cloud and put an asterisk right next to the letter D and hit enter. And it'll show you all the places where the word cloud or clouds are. The asterisk denotes that anything with that word in it plus anything that comes after it is what it's going to search for. It's neat. It's absolutely neat. Okay? So anyway, let me just read some verses for you real quickly and notice the significance of clouds and what they represent. And I believe the Bible's telling us in Hebrews 12 exactly what these clouds are and what they represent. I believe that they are a cloud of witnesses that accompanies Christ. Matthew 24:30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This cloud appearance is so important that God singles it out through the Scripture as the singular sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you this question. Well, it's not really a question. It's just more of a comment. I've been teaching on the Watchman broadcast about the difference between another Jesus and another spirit and another gospel. I just finished the recording today of another spirit. That's the last part of that particular section. Next week I'm going to start on another gospel. When I get that done, I'm going on vacation. So I'm getting wore out. But I'll tell you, this thing about studying another gospel has really got me worked up. Because I've heard some things all my life that when I examine them in Scripture, they're not true. It's just like us singing, "On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise." That's not biblical. Now, I don't know if I'll discontinue singing that song. I like most of that song. We don't regard these songs as Scripture anyway, but they convey a message. But I'm just saying to you that there is one gospel clearly presented to us in the Scripture. All the saints of all the ages have known what this gospel is. It's not some, I'm not going to give you some new thing that nobody's ever figured out before. Watch out for people with stuff like that. When they say, "I've got something new that, I mean, the church has had it wrong all this time," turn that guy off. He's lying through his teeth. He's saying that God hadn't saved anybody until this clown showed up. You watch out. Don't send him any money either. Amen. But this is the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, I've been teaching about another Jesus. And that's interesting that Paul said. First of all, John called him the Antichrist. He is a Christ, but he's a different Christ. He's the Antichrist. Paul talked about the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians 2. But in 1 Timothy, he talked about great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's the real Christ. The Antichrist is the mystery of iniquity. See the difference? God manifests in godliness and then iniquity. They're two different things. I don't know exactly how it's all going to play out. I haven't seen the movie yet. But I believe that at the coming and the appearing of the other Jesus, the fake, false Jesus, there's something about him and his revealing, like in 2 Thessalonians 2, "Then shall that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." I think there's something that goes along with the absence of clouds at his appearing. Okay? Because this is the singular. I mean, I'm going to show you all through Scripture. This is what God said to look for. It's what He said to look for. In the clouds, in the clouds, in the clouds, in the clouds. Matthew 24:30. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." It's coming in the clouds. Matthew 26:64, Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven." Twice in the same book. Mark 13:26, "Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." Luke 21:27, these are all companion chapters in the Bible. They're part of the synoptic gospels. They are sort of synchronized in their story. Luke 21:27. "Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Already In two places in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, we're told that the Son of Man is going to come in the clouds. Now you look at Acts chapter 1, and the Bible says in verse 9, the Bible says, when he had spoken these things, this is Christ, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. When he left the earth, he was taken up in a cloud. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He left in a cloud. He's coming back in a cloud. Amen. Don't miss that one. It's sort of like when you're in school, or in high school, or in college, and your teacher's rambling off a bunch of stuff that you're not paying attention to, and all of a sudden your teacher says, don't forget that. Remember that I said that. Write that down in your notes. And of course, you're sitting there going, what did he just say? That was me. Okay? And Brady. Okay? The two guys preaching the gospel to you. Got it? We're better now. We take our own notes. Okay? But anyway, why did the teacher do that? You're going to see that on the test. Amen. When they go out of their way to say, don't forget that one now. Don't forget it. That teacher's already made out the test. She knows what's on it. She's telling you, just remember that I said that. Remember that I said that. Remember that I said that. By the way, up here, I like this. This do in remembrance of me. Anytime God said, remember this, he means it. Yeah. You know why? We're going to see it again. We're going to see it with our own eyes, and God's going to give us revelation in those days. And so anyway, in the clouds, you saw him go up in a cloud. He's coming back in a cloud. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Where? In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'd like for that to happen. Soon. Amen. It has occurred to me in this week, I'm just being overwhelmed with news. Bad news. Got a sodomite basketball player coming out now. All he did, you know what he did? He just opened the corral door. Here they come. Here they come with their wicked lifestyle. And of course, everybody's going, yay! He kisses other men on the mouth. That's what it is. That's as far as I'll go describing it. But that's how wicked that is. Okay? And then here's, and I saw this cartoon the other day. Here, Tim Tebow's coming out saying, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a Christian. I read the Bible. I love the Lord. Praise and stuff like that. And the media is telling him, won't you keep your mouth shut? Won't you be quiet? Yeah. Basketball player comes out and says, I kiss other men on the mouth. Oh, yeah, tell us all about that. That's great. That's the world we live in, people. And we're not going to vote our way out of this one. It's not going to be through politics. It's not going to be done through weapons of warfare. God's going to have to bring revival to this land. Amen? And I'll tell you, every time a revival happened in the Old Testament, you know what the king did? Got rid of the sodomites. That's what he did. Just telling you what the Bible says. But anyway, I can't wait some days. I cannot wait for the appearing of the Lord in the air, in the clouds. When the clouds are there and we see the Lord in the clouds, that's our blessed hope. That's when we're going to be caught up together with the dead in Christ, like Abraham, Isaac, David, Daniel. I may be wrong on that, but I'm just telling you, that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive remain going to be caught up together with them to meet in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Very important that he said that. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. The Bible says every eye is going to see him on that day. And I'll never forget watching, this was years ago on Trinity Broadcasting Network. They were boasting that God had given them a vision of creating a Christian satellite broadcasting network that covered the entire earth so that they could broadcast on TV live the appearing of Jesus in the clouds. But we need your help. They were running a scam, Jim. They got several million bucks out of that one. Yeah. You know what I believe? See, the earth is round. Somehow, some way, Jesus is going to appear and every eye is going to see him. Every eye. They that pierced him. They that pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And John said, even so. Amen. That's what he said. Even so. Amen. Bring it on. Revelation 10:1. I've been teaching on this in the Wednesday Pure Bible Study. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud. So I just believe that that's Jesus. Clothed with a cloud. Rainbow was upon his head. Can I take it? Let's look at that for a minute. Take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Whenever you're reading the Bible and you just want to skip over some things, don't skip over it. Make a note of it. If you don't understand it, make a note of it. Put it. I started keeping notebooks years ago. I mean, I did. I got my way through high school without taking very many notes. I got my way through college without taking a whole lot of notes. When God began to show me things in the Bible, I realized I had to start taking notes. I started writing stuff down so I wouldn't forget it. And every now and then I go back and look at my notes. Things that I thought, you know, 10 years ago, I may not think them now, and I got a note on it, and I'll go and correct the note. This is what I see according to Scripture. It's always good to do that. Ezekiel chapter 1, this is such a beautiful, the Ezekiel and John were given the benefit of seeing the throne of God. Given the benefit. I think Isaiah did too, but anyway, here it is right here. In verse 26, he sees the firmament that's over the heads of the four living creatures. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness. Am I right? Did I hear right on this? Is a sapphire a diamond? No. It's not? I noticed no men were saying, yeah, or no. Men don't know that stuff. Huh? I don't know what color it is.
It's blue.
It's blue? All right. The appearance of a sapphire stone. Wow, that's neat. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, and from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud. The bow is in the cloud, Jim.
Amen.
And this is what he said. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Isaiah said, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. So you add that to what we just read in Revelation 1. Behold, he cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see him on that day. What's in the clouds is the glory of the Lord. Are you catching all this? So if I go back to Revelation 10, let me read this very quickly. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, and he was clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. What does a rainbow look like? Colors. Seven of them, by the way. When you shine water through a prism, which is what the moisture up in the sky does. When you shine light to that prism, the prism will separate the seven color spectrums that are inside that light. By the way, Christ is the light. He said, I am the light of the world. So just think about how beautiful this is. It's the light of the world shining through the water of the Word.
Amen.
That's where the glory of the Lord is. Somebody say amen. You want a little taste of heaven, a little taste of glory, just get your authorized Bible out. You'll just stand in awe as you're looking at the sunlight shining through the waters. Say amen. Can you imagine Ezekiel just standing there going, froze, watching this scene. So he sees the glory of the Lord in the cloud. Now, I like this story because we have a story in the Bible of a father who had a beloved son. The father's name was Jacob. The beloved son that he had was named Joseph. Joseph was the firstborn of his true love, Rachel. And the father loved the son so much that he did what? Made him a coat and clothed him with many colors. Hair standing up on the back of my head. I've read that, I don't know how many times I thought about it. It excites me every time I think about it. Here's Joseph, the part of Jesus now being played by Joseph. And he puts on this rainbow cloud coat. And he now has the glory of his father. If you go back and read John chapter 17, the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified. He said, Father, why don't you share the glory with me that we had before the world was? You see, the only one in the entire world who had a right to share in the glory of God was Jesus himself. Because God said, my glory will I not give to another. And so here is Joseph with this rainbow coat on, signifying the coming of the glory of the Lord to be yet revealed. He tells the dream to his brethren. They hate his guts. They try to have him killed. They strip him of his what? Of his glory. And 22 years later, he reveals to the same men that tried to have him killed, it is I, Joseph, be not afraid. He revealed himself to his brethren, Dan and Asher, Naphtali and Gad, and Simeon, and Zebulun, and Judah, and Levi. He revealed himself to his brethren, Israel, as their Savior. This is what's going to happen. This is what's coming ahead, people. It's what's coming ahead. Okay? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Now, take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Boy, it's so beautiful. As I look back over, starting in 1997, when God just said, you're going to study prophecy. When I look back at, I had in my mind all the things I was going to talk about, weird stuff. And God knew what He was doing. He knew what He was talking about. He knew where He was going to take it. And whether I talk about prophecy, or whether I talk about doctrine, or I talk about heaven, or I talk about hell, or I talk about the disciples or the tribes, or I talk about the blood, it doesn't matter what I talk about. The greatest thrill that I get out of life and out of what I do is that I can say what I know, and people go home and they start reading their Bible and they go, look at that. And now we have, you know, we have, you know, the outlets that we have. We have this software that I just had in my mind what I thought I wanted it to do. And this lady said, I can do that. And boy, she did it. Yeah. Name is Donna. Bless her heart. And she'd done it for free. And you know what she's doing now? Now we have the King James English. She's found a French version of the King James Bible. And she has taken the software then and put the French version of the King James Bible so that those who speak French can search the scriptures like us people are doing. Okay? That's cool. Okay? And you know what people are doing? They're downloading this software and they're just typing words in. They're just thinking, they'll read the Bible and then they'll see a word and it'll just jump out at them and they'll just look at that word and they'll see it all through the scriptures. And sometimes they'll have a crying spell over what they're seeing in the scriptures. God is just opening up His word to them in a more marvelous fashion because that's what God does. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
By the way, I'm going to share this. I asked Michael if I could. And I don't intend this to be a boast or anything else. It's just that every now and then God will test you with something. And this is something that He made me aware of this week. As probably all of you know, or hope you know, that on top of running an internet radio station called Bible Truth Radio, God put it in Michael's heart and he brought it to me and we prayed about it and just kind of really prayed about it and finally we just felt like it was the time to say we have in Western Kenya and in it kind of reaches into some other places an FM radio station called Kenya Bible Truth Radio that people go and they turn on their FM radio to 91, what is it? 91, where is she? 91 something, 91.1 I think in Western Kenya on FM radio, and they hear Bible Truth Radio. They hear all the sermons, teachings, things like that from us here. And it's real. Michael will get up at 4 in the morning and he'll come over here and he'll do a live talk show through Skype or something like that. And he said the other day he had like 40 some odd people calling him. Okay? Now, the love of money is the root of all evil. He came to me the other day and he sat down and he said, I got to tell you something. I said, what? He said, a group offered Kenya Bible Truth Radio to buy the airtime between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Kenya time. And I said, who was it? He said, the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church offered $2 million to buy the airtime for I don't know how long between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Kenya Bible Truth Radio. And I was so proud of Michael, he said, no. Because you got it. I want you to think about this. Why would they do that? It wasn't hard for us to start an FM radio station over in a foreign country. It wasn't hard. What did they want to do, Brady? They wanted to buy us out. Okay? Keep it. That's exactly right. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell for $3 million. I'm not going to hell for their money. Okay? And they're pushing it pretty hard. They want this bad. And they're trying to sell it like, oh, but we have so many donors that want to give, and this could be a lot of money for you guys. Don't need it. Anyway, that's the Lord. Okay? Now, I'm going to say this. Jezebel does not give up. You see, Jezebel tried to have Naboth sell the vineyard. Okay? And when Naboth told Ahab no, Jezebel went to work. And she started a smear campaign against Naboth and then had him killed. Okay? My life's in God's hands. I want to stay down here for as long as I possibly can. Okay? So I'm not really worried about that. But I'm telling you, when Jezebel gets scorned, she gets mean. Okay? And we've just scorned Babylon the Great. That's what we did. So let's make sure, as my mom said, we'll make sure we're paid up and prayed up. Okay? Anyway, in Genesis chapter 9, look at the language of your authorized Bible. Look at this. Look at the language here. God spake unto Noah, verse 8, and to his sons with him, saying, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl of the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token. This is how God signs his contract. Okay? This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and of every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall, look at the language now, verse 14. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud, not if. And how do we always think of clouds? Now, I like to look, to me, the most brilliant artist in the world is not Bob Ross. Okay? It's not Da Vinci. It's God.
Yes.
You go out where you can see a long way, about 8:30 in the evening in the summertime, and just look at what God painted up there. It is absolutely gorgeous. I love to look at clouds. When I was out in Oklahoma, Oklahoma's real flat. You can see them thunderstorms coming from miles and miles away. And I would go outside my dorm room in the afternoon and watch those Oklahoma thunderstorms, and you can just see the power. It's inside those thunderheads. I mean, just immense power up in there. That's so beautiful. But we always refer to clouds as something that it kind of darkens us. It, you know, I'm feeling kind of cloudy today. I feel, you know, down. When wintertime sets in here in Missouri, a lot of you know that the clouds just show up and they don't leave hardly all winter long until the things break and the sun's in a different position and so on. And now we start getting clear days and the clouds have been rolled away. So we have this idea, it's even biblical, the idea of clouds bringing darkness and gloom and gloominess and things like that. And just as a blessing to you in your life, that as Christians, we always have the promise to us that when God brings the cloud over us, and He will, it's not good for us to have every day go our way. That's not good for us. It's not good for us to feel peachy keen every day. It's not good for us for everything to go our way all the time. And so God will bring a cloud over us and He'll darken things a little bit. And we ain't feeling so good and maybe we're a little depressed and maybe we're down and maybe we just want everybody to leave us alone and we're grumpy and grouchy and everything else. We have the ability to look inside that cloud and see that God put His signature up there. His glory is in that cloud. The rainbow. Have you ever seen a double rainbow? That's Old Testament, New Testament. Amen. That's how I like to see it. Amen. To me, there's nothing more beautiful than that. To see a rainbow after a thunderstorm or after a storm. To see that in the clouds. That is God's glory up in there. And what that is, it's a prophecy. It's a prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is what it is. So He said in verse 14, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud and all flesh shall see it together and every eye shall see it. The Bible says the whole world is going to see Christ coming in the cloud. Somebody say amen. And by the way, when that happens, you and I are going up.
Amen.
Nothing's holding us back.
Amen.
You and I are going to go up. I can't wait for that. Amen. Turn to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. I just love the language of the Bible. I don't know why, Brady, people want to change the Bible all the time. Maybe they don't have the same God we do. Exodus chapter 16. Do you know if you were to start counting from Genesis 1 and count forward through the chapters of Genesis? Genesis has 50 chapters. Exodus 1 would be the 51st chapter. Exodus 2 would be the 52nd chapter. Exodus 10 would be the 60th chapter. And Exodus 16 would be the 66th chapter of the Bible. 66 books in the Bible. 66 chapters in Isaiah. And did you know that at the end of chapter 39 in Isaiah, in the beginning of chapter 40, Matthew's the 40th book of the Bible. In chapter 40 of Isaiah, it's where it says, comfort ye my people. The voice of him crying in the wilderness, make straight his path. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. It's the Isaiah chapter 40 is a even its location is a prophecy of the New Testament, the 40th book of the Bible, Matthew. Don't tell me that man put this thing together. Man ain't that good. Man ain't that good. So here we are in the 66th chapter of the Bible. And you know what God's going to do? Look at verse 4. Look what God's going to do. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will... What's the verb he uses here? Rain. Behold, I will rain. But what's he going to rain?
Bread.
Guess who that bread is? Jesus said, I'm the bread. God said, my doctrine shall distill as the rain. Jesus is the Word of God coming down as the rain. When the cloud comes over. And so he's going to rain bread. What did they call it? What did they call that bread? Manna. Now, in the original Hebrew, the Hebrew word here for manna is manna. It's manna. It's a Hebrew word. Do you know what manna means? What is it? You know how I know that? I don't spreckens the Hebrew. It says it in the text. They called it manna, for they wist not what it was. Manna means, what is it? You know what that is? God, that's typology. Here it is, the bread came down from heaven to them. They didn't know who it was. So here Jesus comes down from heaven, and he actually tells them, I'm the bread. And they still don't know who he is. Okay, but what do we see? Look in verse, let's read from verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, and that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. I'd suggest to you that you start reading your Bible every day. I mean, you see it right there, don't you? And he said a certain rate every day. You don't have to read all of it every day. It's not a contest how much you can read in one day or if you can read the Bible in a year. And I heard Dave Gibbs, one of the most brilliant men I've ever heard talk in my life. He's head of the Christian Law Association, loves the King James Bible. He said in all the court situations he's gone in to defend doctrine, he said, we use the King James.
Amen.
It's legal.
Amen.
Okay, it's the words are legal words. But anyway, David Gibbs talked about how he could read the Bible. He didn't think he could do it, and some guy had provoked him to do it. He's reading the Bible every 3 months. Okay? Yeah, wow. I can't do that. David Gibbs is not more saved than me. I'm not less a man than he is. Okay? You can look at me and Sterling and tell that we don't gather the same rate every day. Sterling, amen. I gather a little bit more than he does. Okay? So it's not, and he's fine, he's healthy, he's good. Okay? He'll eat a little bit, and I'll go, Sterling, are you done? Oh, man. I'm going, really? Okay? But anyway. Verse 5, and it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and that shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, then shall you know that the Lord hath brought you up out of the land of from the land of Egypt. Verse 7, and in the morning then ye shall see who? The glory of the Lord. Who did we say that is? It's the bow. He said, ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that we murmur against us? Did you notice that every time Israel murmured against God, God blessed them? Well, not every time. But more often than not, God was more than likely to bless Israel when they murmured than he was to curse them. And even when he cursed them, like by sending serpents in amongst them, he gave them a blessing and gave them a way out. He said, if you'll look, you'll live. Verse 8, and Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. In verse 9, and Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children. You know why Moses said that to Aaron? Moses had a speech impediment. Moses was a stammerer. You remember that?
Yes.
When God called him, he said, I can't talk. Okay? And Paul referenced that when he was talking about the law given through Moses. Paul said, we use plainness of speech and not as Moses. You know what that means? That the law was given to Moses, who had a speech impediment. And Paul said the New Testament is plainer than the Old Testament. Okay? But anyway, Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation, the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, look at that. The glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. That's going to happen. Hopefully in our lifetime. Hopefully, I wouldn't mind if it happened before I got home.
Amen.
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 We got weather moving in. I'm having probably one of the worst days physically that I've had. I've been in pain all day long. And I'm tired. I want to go home and go to bed. But I'd rather see the glory of the Lord in the cloud on my way home.
Amen.
Because then I wouldn't have to wake up in the morning with more pain. Amen, Wayne?
Amen,
Amen, Wayne? Are you with me? Somebody shoot me and Wayne. Put us out of our misery tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Study clouds. Exodus 19, when they gathered around Mount Sinai. Guess how God appeared to them? He came down in the cloud. Just study these clouds. Just study that all through the Scripture. And you'll weep when you see the beauty of the Word of God open up before your eyes. Knowing that one of these days we're going to meet the Lord and we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And if you think you're having a bad day, think about one of the prophets being sawn asunder. You think you're having a bad day, think about being thrown in the lion's den. You think you're having a bad day, think about Jeremiah being thrown into prison. John the Baptist having his head cut off. And if you wake up and you're mad because you can't find any clean clothes to wear, then go get you a camel suit and put it on. Okay? Wear camel's hair and goat skins and everything else. And not a Rolex like Benny does. Amen? You're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know what they're doing? They're saying, come on, you can do this. You can do this. Every now and then, I know that y'all stand to your feet. That'll tell me to shut up. Nobody's wanting to go home more than I am, but I love talking about God. And I wanted to tonight. I just wanted to. Every now and then, we need our rear end kicked. Amen. And every now and then, God's going to give me a message. He's going to kick your rear end because He kicked me with it first. But every now and then, it's good to come into the house of the Lord and get some encouragement in us. Just get somebody to tell you, look, I know it's rough. But people all throughout the Bible had it rough. And God brought them through. These are not the superheroes of the Bible that prevailed on their own strength. This is God bringing us through. Okay? He'll do it for you. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you so much, God, for the wonder of this Bible. And God, you showed me this stuff, I mean, at the right time, and you know it. Lord, you know what I was going through. You know the struggles that I had. And Lord, you began to excite me and show me great and mighty things that I knew not. You began to bless me and show me that this Bible was so well designed, so ordered, so structured. God, I'll never get over that. I love to talk about it. I love to preach on it. I love to give encouragement to people. Lord, bring us to that day. Don't fail us, God. Bring us to the day when we meet you in the clouds. Bless us. Be with us tonight. Be with Wayne, Lord. Bless him. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you.